Thank you, Jeremy. It is good to be in a bright auditorium, isn't it? That's right. Amen. Of course, you all know we've been studying Becoming Like Jesus. I hope that is your desire. Hope that is your goal in life. Hope you know the Lord as your Savior. You've trusted Him. And you want to become more like Him. Of course, the theme is taken from Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom He foreknew, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. To be conformed. That means to be pressed into the mold. I wonder, are you pressed into the mold of Jesus? Are you becoming more like Him? How are we changed? We've been studying this for a few weeks now. I've picked out three major ways that God uses to change us. Number one, He changes us by the grace of God. You all know Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10. It says, "For by grace you have been saved." Aren't you glad for that this morning? You're saved by the grace of God and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship. God is working on you. Some of you have more work to be done. And we're like diamonds in the rough. He has to keep working us. But by God's grace, He saved us. That's how it starts. And now He's working on us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so we are God's workmanship by the grace of God. And then number two, we're changed to be like Christ by the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. For we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed or changed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so God's Spirit is changing you from glory to glory. You may not notice the change because it is slight every day. It may be small. But hopefully you're moving more and more to be like Jesus. And number three, we are changed to be like Jesus by the Word of God. Last week we talked about Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 22 through 24, that ye put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And so God has wants us to put off the old man and to put on the new man like a garment. How do we know what this the old man is and the new man? Well, I submit to you that the Word of God, as you read it, will let you know, will teach you the things you are to put off and the things that you are to put on. God has a wardrobe for you. He wants you to dress up for Jesus. Put on the new man, which is created according to God. These are the keys that God uses to change us to be more like Him. But we haven't talked about one area, one key to the living to be like Christ, to have the life of Christ inside of us. That's very, very important. We find it in John chapter 15 with a scripture today, the text that Jeremy read to us. There's one key that helps us to live the life of Christ, and that's found in the word relationship. Relationship. Being changed by God is more than just submitting to a list of rules. God doesn't put you in a Christian school and say, "Now I want you to abide by these rules. You know, you can only sit 6 inches from a girl." You know, that was one of the rules. And I had my little ruler. No, I didn't. But there were different rules that we set up to act as fences to keep kids, trying to keep them to be pointed towards God, living for Him. But God wants us more than just a list of rules. He wants relationship. We find that in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5 especially. We're going to look at some practical ways to live out the life of Christ. So the word that really the Christian life is first and foremost not just a list of rules, like I said, and guidelines. It's first and foremost a relationship. A relationship to do what? To bear fruit. God wants you to be a fruit bearer. If you read this scripture, I ask you to pick out the number of times the word bear fruit, or to bear more fruit, and that your fruit remain, you will find it's throughout this scripture, because it's important to God that you be filled and fruit bearing in your life. So what is the importance here of this relationship? Well, number one, it says there, as you look at John chapter 15, verse 1, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman," or the gardener. Christ is the vine. This past fall, some of the men took a trip down to Jack Mansfield's. Now, we went down there to go fishing. And man, did we catch some fish. That was fun. But halfway through the fishing, Jack says, "Now, would you like to see the vineyard?" "What, Ed, Denny, you want some grapes?" And I go, "Yeah." I said, "My wife has a steamer," and actually got the idea from the Mansfields, and so we went over, and the men began to pick grapes. Well, actually, we cut them. And these grapes were quite ripe. They were dropping off the vine. It was quite late in the year. But there was enough there for everyone. But I noticed where the grapes were. They weren't on the vine. They were on the branches. You don't find grapes on the vine. And the vine is bigger than the branches. And the branches are connected to the vine. The branches have the leaves. The branches really get their life sustenance from the vine. It's quite a lot to know to have a vineyard, to be able to grow a vineyard. It's quite intricate. The way I do it is I just let the thing grow, and at my place I've got vines up in my trees, and I have to get on a ladder, an extension ladder, to pick my grapes. That really isn't the way to do it, okay? It was so much nicer in my Jack's vineyard. And boy, did we pick grapes, big clumps of grapes. Yes, Christ is the vine. He is the one that gives us sustenance. And we are the branches, it says there in verses 4 and 5. And the branch in verse 2. And then it says in verse 4 and 5, abide in me and I in you. That is the key to fruit bearing. Number one, you have to be connected. You need to know Christ as your personal Savior. And then you need to abide. You need to remain in Him. And this is talking about relationship, to be close every day. You need to make it your life goal to get close to God. Be a branch that's going to bear fruit. Remain in you and remain in me and I in you. And this is a close relationship. It's a give and take relationship, but you are to be together. We cannot bear fruit without Christ's presence in our life. I remember as a new Christian, I was in the service at the time. And just so happened that Philina, I was stationed in Denver, just so happened that she had to come out to the Rocky Mountains for a CBF rally. You know, just happened that way, you know. And she just wanted to come. It was all for the rally. Well, maybe a little bit to see me, you know. But I remember we started to memorize scripture while she was there, and one of the verses we memorized was Galatians 2:20. I would mark this scripture in your Bible and memorize it. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but what? Christ lives in me. No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. You see, spiritual sustenance comes from Christ living within you. And you become more like Jesus as He lives His life out through you. I wonder, is Christ in you this morning? That's the first question. Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Have you trusted? Have you accepted Him into your heart? And number two, are you letting Him live His life out through you? It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And we talk about this relationship with Christ. It's a relationship to enjoy. Why is it a relationship to enjoy? Because Christ loves you. You ought to fall in love with Christ. It ought to be a love relationship. How many of you men have got your Valentine present already? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But I hope you've been thinking about it. Yesterday I asked my wife, honey, would you like one of those 4-foot teddy bears? She goes, "No!" I knew she didn't, okay? I said, "Just checking, you know, just to make sure." Yeah, we ought to be thinking about a love relationship. It's something you have to work at every day. And so it is with Christ. We need to work on loving Him more. Oh yes, Christ must live in us. 1 John 2:27 says, "But the anointing, which I believe is the Holy Spirit, which you have received from Him, abides in you." Abides in you. The key word is abides. You see, once you accept Christ the Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in and abides in you. And that's a wonderful relationship. Christ must live in us through His Spirit. In our mobile society, Americans aren't real good at abiding. In fact, we are constantly on the move. And we move from church to church, job to job, spouse to spouse, state to state. We're moving. Most of the time it's not good. Especially spouse to spouse. That shouldn't be. But because of this moving, this transition, our relationship with God is lost many times. And so you have to work on having a relationship, abiding in Christ. So how do we abide in Christ? Well, I see some keys here in John chapter 15. Number one, we abide through Bible study. Look at verse 3. "Now you are clean through what? The word which I have spoken unto you." Do you want to clean up daily? I hope. Do you go into the bathroom and at least wash up a little bit every day? I do. And if I don't, my wife tells me. You know? People notice things like that when you don't clean up very well. God says, if you read my word, now you are clean through the word. So we abide and we clean up. We have a close relationship through the word of God, through Bible study. Number two, we have a close relationship through prayer. Verse 7 says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will." You will ask. Are you used to asking things of God? Talking to Him about needs in your life? Praying for others? If you abide in Christ, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. We abide through prayer. And then, this one we probably don't like, but we abide through trials. One of the things in the vine, to have a good vine, you just can't let it grow where it wants to grow. Notice what it says in verse 2. "Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he does what? He takes it away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it." You know what that word purge means? Well, it means that he prunes it. Many times this pruning is through trials, tribulations. You say, "Lord, why do I have struggles?" Because he's pruning you. He's snipping some branches. Ouch! That hurts! Yes. But it's going to make you more fruitful. Yes. We need to abide in Christ. And when we abide in Him, we have a relationship that we can enjoy. Number two, the life of Christ involves obedience from the heart. Obedience from the heart. While the Christian life is primarily a relationship, it is clear to us that every relationship will produce its own set of rules. You notice that in your marriage, don't you? What are some things that you do, men and ladies, for your mate? Well, you know what pleases them, so you have this little rule book, a little checkbook. You say, I will do this, I will do that, I will pick up my socks, I will wipe off the sink after I'm done shaving, because I know this pleases my wife. And don't forget the mat. After you've taken a shower, would you hang that back up? A lot of rules. A lot of things to do. It just isn't just taking a shower. You gotta have all these things that you better do. But I do it because I want to please. I wonder, do you want to please God? Do you have this relationship with God that you say, God, I want to please you, and so I'm looking to do the little things. Little things I do. It's interesting, though, many times we don't do what we should do with the Lord. In fact, in Luke 6, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? It's easy to say Lord, isn't it? That's not quite another thing to do what your Lord is asking you to do. So the life of Christ involves obedience. We are commanded to obey. Notice there in John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. If you keep my commandments. Are you keeping God's commandments? Do you know what the commandments are? And then are you keeping them? Do you want to please God? Jesus said to his disciples, he said to Judas, you can look at John chapter 14, verse 23. There is such a time. It says there, verse 22, Judas saith to him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me and keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. If a man love me and will keep my words, my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You notice, see how important being obedient to God's words are? God wants us to obey, and when we obey, we are drawn closer to him, and he comes. Actually, is that home in our hearts? An abode is a home, isn't it? Is God a home in your heart? I trust He is. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Are you a doer? Are you a one that's obedient to God? So important. Obey what God says. Do what he says. We're commanded to obey. But you know something? God gives us power to obey. That's the beautiful thing, isn't it? He just says, now I want you to do it, and you're on your own. No. I'm going to help you. Obey me. The Holy Spirit empowers us to understand and live the life of Christ. That word empowerment is kind of a buzzword this century. But you know something? To be empowered, we need authority. Who is our authority? God, isn't He? And so He gives us the empowerment to live for Him. I wonder, are you obedient? You should be, because God has empowered you to be obedient. You say, Pastor, how has He empowered me? Well, Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. So when you're filled with the Spirit, you are empowered to live for God. Yes, the Holy Spirit empowers us. The Holy Spirit reveals truth through His Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. God has revealed things of the Word through His Spirit. I wonder, is God revealing Himself to you through His Spirit? Or do you desire to know more of Him? 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But those of you that know Christ ought to be clued in, as it were, spiritually. You ought to be able to take this book and say, I understand that. I want to know more of that. You can discern God's Word. And you can live that Word. Yes, we must avail ourselves to the Spirit's teaching through the Word of God. That takes time, doesn't it? You know, the basketball season has arrived. Syracuse Orangemen are going great guns. I'm behind them all the way. Irma Bombeck often said, if a man watches three consecutive football or basketball games, he should be declared brain dead. How many ladies would agree with that? Yes, that's right. Although, what I like to do is have three going on at the same time so I can keep the scores. That's really when you really have it down. But, you know, God wants us to be into His Word and learning, and God wants to be revealing Himself through us through His Word. And it's like taking the time that sports would take. You're not brain dead. You are spiritually alive when you want to spend time in God's Word. That's what it's all about. John 14:26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And so God has sent His Spirit, and He's teaching us. I'm glad for that. I'm glad we can come to church. Glad there's Sunday school classes where you can learn. I'm glad for the preaching time of God's Word you can learn. God is how about the radio? Do you listen to the radio? Spiritual messages. God has given us so many ways to learn. If you're open to God's Spirit. So God reveals truth through His Word. And the Holy Spirit leads us away from sin. I wonder, are you heading towards sin or away from sin? To have a relationship with God, you need to be led away from sin. God is holy, right? And so to be close to Him, you have to be just the opposite. You can't be sinning. You need to be holy. Be holy as I am holy, the Word says. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led up by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And so the Spirit will lead us away from sin, away from the flesh, towards spiritual things. We need to thank God for the power of the Spirit. We need to obey and yield from our heart. Then we'll experience victory. Oh, the life of Christ is a relationship to enjoy. The life of Christ involves obedience from the heart. And then finally, the life of Christ requires endurance by His grace. Requires endurance. We endure because of God's Spirit and by His grace. God has grace for every situation. There's a story told about a lady who bought a new sweater. Her son said, "Mom, that's a nice sweater. You look like the Wheel of Fortune." Mom said, "Thank you, sweetheart. You mean I look like Vanna White?" The son said, "No, I mean you look like the wheel." That you have to endure certain things, don't you? What are you enduring this morning? Well, God's grace can help us to endure. Hebrews 4:16 says, "But let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That tells me there's going to be a time of need. It doesn't say if you're going to have a time of need. It says in time of need. You're going to have some struggles. They're going to come, whether you like it or not. But God gives us grace. God is able to make all grace abound, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. God is able to make His grace abound towards us. We need that abounding grace. Yes, God gives grace to help during trouble. God gives grace to help the humble. I wonder, how is your humility doing? 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Do you know that many times trials tends to bring us down from being proud? When you're sick, I tell you, you tend to come down off the proud perch and you're humbled because you're weak. That's God's way. Sometimes God will allow circumstances into our lives to prepare us for His grace. A little boy insisted on giving his offering, especially to the pastor. the pastor kept telling him to give it to an usher. The boy said, "But I really want to give it to you. My dad says you are the poorest preacher he's ever heard." I hope you'd never say that about me. Struggles, trials. We all have them, don't we? Yes, when we come to God, we admit our weakness and our failure. He always meets us at the point of our need. He is drawn to a repentant and submissive spirit. This week I went down to Horseheads for a preaching practicum. Help me to be a better preacher. Hopefully you'll see that results of that. But I guess the whole trip was worth it for one thing. I saw a big sign. Normally you don't see them this big. One of those, what do you call them? Just a sign. Anyway, you know what it said on it? Repent. And you know, I said, that's pretty tough there. And then in the words down low, it says, Jesus is coming. I said, somebody's on the ball around here. Actually, on the way back, I turned around to make sure that I got it right. Yes, our country needs to repent. Our leaders need to repent. We talked about Sunday school this morning. Joshua was cleaning out the land and those countries would not repent. And so they were all killed. I believe that if America doesn't repent, we're going to go the same way. Yes, God is drawn to repentant and submissive spirit. In fact, Psalm 51 verse 17 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Do you hear that? A broken and a contrite heart. How's your heart this morning? Oh, it's God wants us to submit to Him, to look for His help in time of need, to cry out for His grace. Well, we have an example. Christ is our example of endurance. He kept His Father's commandments, says in John 15:10. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." So Christ was an example of doing the Father's will. I wonder, are you following His example? I'll close with this verse, Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." He set the example, didn't He? He is the one who endured the cross for us, for our sins. He despised the shame. Are you thankful for what Christ has done for you? I hope so. Yes, living the life of Christ is a relationship. God said, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles." I'm thankful Christ came. God the Father put his spirit on God the Son, and he came and declared salvation for you and for me. Not just for Jews, but for Gentiles. Aren't you glad that Christ came to save the Gentiles? We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the love of Christ for Gentiles. Living the life of Christ is a relationship to enjoy. I wonder, do you know Christ? Do you enjoy him? Is he the love of your life? Yes, it's a relationship to enjoy. Knowing Christ, living for Christ, is obedience from the heart. I wonder where you are. Are you obeying him? Or do you play just lip service to God and then go out of here and do your own thing? So many are doing that. And then lastly, living for Christ is enduring by his grace. We are running a race. We have to endure. I don't know if you've seen those Ironman races. You ever seen the Ironman races? They run so many miles, then they get on a bicycle and they bicycle for so many miles, and then they get off the bike and they get then they swim for so many miles, and they do it just for a crown, earthly crown. We ought to be running for Christ, a heavenly crown. I wonder, are you following Christ's example? Do you know him? Are you in a love relationship with him? As you think of Valentine's Day this coming week, do you think of Christ and your love for him? Let's pray, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that you are changing us. We're becoming more like you through a relationship with you. We pray that this relationship might be growing. Lord, if there be one here that has never been saved by your grace, that's where it starts. God, would you speak to their hearts about their need of you? God, that they're sinners, far from, Lord, where you want them to be. Help them to realize that they need to accept you as personal Savior. We thank you for your Spirit that comes in and changes us from within. And thank you, God, for your Word that we can read and grow thereby. We ask that you'd help us be changed from glory to glory. And the Lord will thank and praise you in his precious name. Amen.